of 2023. We have all of the commissioners present this evening, with the exception of Commissioner Starks, who had alerted us that he was on business travel this week. Staff, are you ready to begin? Okay. We'd like to thank staff for all the preparations that they put into getting ready for this meeting, as well as those who have joined us in our auditorium to participate in our meeting this evening. There will be times during our meeting where we will invite the public that has joined us to address the commission. We'll open up public comment on the agenda items that we have, and at those times we'll invite those that would like to address the commission to state their name and where they reside for our records, and then they'll have 3 minutes to address the commission, present any evidence they've brought this evening, or any concerns that they have with regards to what we've heard. We'll also provide an opportunity, if applicants are present this evening, to add any information they'd like to staff reports. So with that, our first item of business is to approve our agenda for this evening. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda as published.
Okay, we have a motion. I'll second that. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. Our next item of business is to approve our minutes from our last meeting, which was April 11th, 2023. I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review those. As always, Ms. Valdez, thank you or it was probably Ms. Crookson last time. Thank her for us.
I did want to let you know, I listened to the recording and saw that you had mentioned that last time, but actually I take the motions now and Diana does the minutes.
All right, Ms. Baum, thank you for putting those together. Any corrections? Okay, then I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the minutes from the April 11th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting as published.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Darby. I will second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, staff, business for us this evening?
I don't think we have any business for you this evening.
Okay. Commissioners, I think we'll start with Mr. Darby's report from City Council.
Yes, I attended last week's study session and council meeting, and the council talked about some things and did some work.
Anything you want to share with us?
We'll go into a little bit more detail here.
Okay.
The first thing, they talked about the roads and moved to let the public know that the roads are in somewhat of a state of disrepair in some areas because of the winter. They're aware of it and they have it planned. They do have to wait until the temperatures get to a certain level of warmness before they can start the repairs. So they wanted to make the public aware of that. They were going to talk about two resolutions. One of them was describing existing conditions that make satisfying certain station area plan requirements of Utah code impracticable. They decided to delay that on the advice of staff to make a few adjustments. They also appointed Rachel May to the Art Council. And then finally, they spent quite a bit of time talking about community development block grants. If I understood correctly, they're in the fourth year of a five-year consolidated plan. This is money that they have access to help accessibility and mental health in the South Jordan area. Typically, they end up with about $220,000 in total allocation each year for various projects. This year, it seems like the requested amount is a little bit low, and they're not quite sure why. They're thinking it may be kind of a delayed effect from COVID, but they encourage us and everyone else to share the word in the community that if anyone has some accessibility needs, there are funds available to help with that through the CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant. And then they also talked about messaging out what the city can and cannot do in regards to Airbnb to try to clarify that for the public. There are some things that the city can do and many things that the city cannot do based on the state law. And that was the majority of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. I believe I am up next and will be attending their meeting next week. Is there any other business from the commissioners?
Just to follow up on Commissioner Darby's report on the CDBG committee, I've served on those committees in other cities. And I know that our city doesn't have a representative or, you know, optional from the Planning Commission, but that's something to, you know, something to just attend. It's very interesting, the process. If you know of any charities as well to apply for those dollars as well, as this is year four of a five-year, I guess, program on that, you know, but make sure they apply because those dollars are there for those charities to hopefully help, you know, their bottom lines as well and serve the public.
Okay. All right, thank you. With that, I think we'll move into our administrative public hearings. Our first item this evening is the SOJO 2700 subdivision preliminary subdivision plat. And Andrew has our staff report.
Thank you, commissioners. Before you tonight, we have a preliminary subdivision for SOJO 27. We are located on 10216 South, 2700 West. We're just across from South Jordan Middle School for reference. Currently, the property is owned R residential 1.8. The property itself is about 1.36 acres. The applicant is proposing to subdivide into two lots, the second lot being a flag lot. Both lots will be a little over two-thirds of an acre, with the lot two being 0.64 and lot one being 0.72 of an acres. They will share access off of 2700 off of the pan for lot two with their hammerhead. They won't need to improve 2700 West, as that was done already with some widening of the road, along with our landscaping ordinances are in place there as well. And with review of the application, staff recommends approval to the commission.
Thank you, Andrew. Do the other long, narrow properties along 27th West near this property have the setup that will allow them to become flag lots as well? Or is this the only lot in that stretch that's wide enough to allow that?
It looks like that they're too long and narrow. You need at least 1.01 for the R1.8 to subdivide. Mm-hmm. So unless they obtain their neighbor's property and consolidate it, they wouldn't be able to subdivide.
Okay. Commissioners, questions for staff? Is the applicant Dan Scarlett with us this evening? Would you like to add anything to the staff report?
I'm Joy Walker. I'm the principal architect for Beecher Walker Architects. My address is 13459 South, 1400 East in Draper. Dan's out of the country, but it asked me to come represent today. So any questions you have, I'm more than glad to answer for you guys.
Okay, thank you. Do you have questions for the applicant at this time?
You may or may not know this, but I noticed in here it talks about the house being eventually knocked down, but it's already been taken down, correct?
Yeah, there were a lot of really old, bad Chinese elms that were pretty in bad despair, and the property was pretty much run down. So we cleared the property and took down the elms, and then we worked with the neighbor on the farmland to figure out the drainage easements and got them really pleased, and so we're excited to move forward.
Other questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
At this time, we're going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to address the commission on this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. We'll start with those that are present in our chamber and then extend the same opportunity to those on the Zoom platform. Okay. I'm not seeing anybody in the chamber wanting to speak to this item. Could we go to our Zoom platform? If you would like to address the commission on this item, we would ask that you please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I don't see anybody online indicating that they'd like to speak to this item, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, thoughts?
Just one thought. I believe in the last year or two, we've seen a similar property in this area on the same side of 2700 West, similar, where we did approve. So I think for historical background, we've kind of set a precedent as standing commission. So just FYI, I wanted to add that to the record.
Helen, as long as it meets the new flag lot requirements. I do dislike, however, when we get a whole bunch in a row, when it would make more sense to maybe build a second road, but in this case where it's just one, like the other. There's not a whole bunch of property there. I'm okay with moving forward. So unless there's any other discussion, I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Based on the staff report and discussion this evening, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve the SoJo 2700 preliminary subdivision plat, file number PLPP 2022-00204.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion. Is there any discussion on that? Okay. I will second Commissioner Gedge's motion and ask Ms. Valdez to lead us in a roll call vote.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Garvey?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. Mr. Walker, thank you for joining us this evening. We always appreciate when applicants are present in case we do have questions. All right, our second item of business under administrative public hearings is the Rise Subdivision Preliminary Subdivision Plat, and Demir has our staff report.
Thank you. So this project was, I'm sure most of you remember before you a few months ago for a zone change. The zoning was approved. The project is situated between 1055 West on at the west end and the office park to the east end. It is about 17 acres. The property itself is zoned RMPD, so the underlying zoning and the development agreement allows for the type of project that the applicant wishes to do. Here's a subdivision plat. It's the project is going to be platted in two phases. As you can see, there's some open spaces. Each building envelope is going to be its own parcel. It'll have its own tax ID number. This is at the west end of the project. So this is the east end of the project, and then this is the west end of the project, which is the phase two. The site plan itself, you can see road connections going out to the east and to the west. The road connection out to the east is a two-way access, while the one to the west is just a one-way access connection to 1055 West. There's road stops to the north and the south. These stops will allow for future development of those adjacent properties.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. I'm talking to the microphone so we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. So we have road stops to the north and to the south, and those stops will allow for future access to those properties once they decide to develop. As far as other amenities or improvements that are going to be done with project, there's going to be a 6-foot fence around the project. Along the north and the west end, and along the east end, there's going to be a 6-foot wrought iron fence or similar to those to that type of fencing. As far as amenities go, there's going to be several open space areas. Those are going to be active recreation areas. You're going to have a dog park, and you're going to have a tot lot and some other areas that are going to be serving these residents in the future. As far as pedestrian connections, you're going to have connections throughout the community. So you're going to be able to walk from the east end to the west end of the project, and you're also going to have a connection to the trail to the east of the project along the canal. So the next few slides, these are just the architecture, the building elevations that is going to be done with this project. The City Architectural Review Committee has gone over these building elevations. They have recommended approval. The exterior materials consist of ephes, stucco, and stone. As you can see, townhomes are two-story buildings. This is a different view. And then the twin homes are going to be single-story buildings. And as far as the landscaping goes, as mentioned before, those open recreation areas, I believe there's three of them in the project, and they're going to have sod just because of being a recreational areas. Most other areas are going to have some type of rock, ground vegetation, and then trees are going to be planted throughout the site. That about wraps it up for me. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer anybody from the commission or the public.
Commissioners?
So in the staff report, microphone's off. In the staff report, it mentioned some 9-foot retaining walls. On this map, it's got highlighted. Can you just point out generally where those are going to be going?
Yeah. So you're going to have some along the south boundary. So they're going to vary in height. So eventually they're going to taper off at the east end and then the same thing at the west end. But the highest section is around here, 9-foot section. And then you're going to have some 9-foot walls along the north boundary too. They're going to be tiered. So you're going to have two walls along the north boundary and then kind of the same thing along here, along the east boundary.
Great. And this, my next follow-up on that is probably maybe for Jeremy, but just with some recent events in other municipalities in the last couple of weeks with some soil shifting, who approves and the actual material put used in those walls, that they are fully inspected for, you know, I'm just worried about the public safety once those walls are in, especially I think once that was not 9 feet by 9 feet, so that's 18 feet. My math is right. I did go to South Jordan schools growing up, so. You know, who does that? And, you know, I guess, you know, would the city be in charge of maintenance or the developer? I mean, just once that they're installed, but who's in charge of making sure that those are safe and not shifting?
So they'll need to get a building permit. It'll be done through our building permit process. It'll be designed by a professional engineer, professional geotechnical engineer, and then it'll be inspected by our building department. My understanding is there'll be private walls, though.
Great, thank you. And then, sorry, I got just a couple more. And just to make sure that this evening, we are only hearing a preliminary subdivision plat. Rezone and general use was forwarded by us, approved by the city council, and a development agreement executed into by the mayor and the developer. Is that correct?
Yes, that is
so
correct.
Our, I guess, what we can maintain is only subject to what's presented to us this evening. Has nothing to do that may have been presented in previous meetings, like density, the historic road, those types of items, correct?
Right. So essentially your function or your role tonight is just to make sure that the project as presented meets the city code requirements.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Any question, please? I don't know who this is for, but we can see the two... I mean, obviously there's more than two, but the two retention ponds that are in between these buildings, is that in like the front yard of those buildings? Is that usable space for those residents, or what do those retention ponds actually look like in between those buildings in what's marked as L104?
So those retention ponds, from what I remember, I don't think they're going to be usable space. I guess you could go, they're not very deep. They're only a few feet deep, maybe 3 to 4 feet deep, but I don't see it as being usable open space.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be green space, but it's not going to be, I mean,
okay, so
just because it's narrow and it's not flat, I just don't know what you could use it for.
Okay. And they're, like you just said, they're not very deep, so there's no concern of kids
right,
it's injuring themselves deep. Or anything
no.
on those?
Yeah,
okay.
No.
I think that's my only question for staff.
Okay. Is the applicant, Andy Welch, present this evening? Do you have anything you'd like to add to the staff's report?
Good evening, Planning Commission. My name is Chase Andreese, here on behalf of the applicant. Andy Welch is also here. We're here to answer any questions you might have. Appreciate Demir's and Jared's and engineering and the planning staff's feedback on this. We've met with them a few times, worked through some of the details and nuances of the site plan to get it to a point where we're at tonight. One thing I did want to add is just on the fencing, we've worked with not only the staff, but the property owner to the south to make sure that we've got fencing in an appropriate manner. What we've tried to do to mitigate the apparent height of that fence is to have a retaining wall in the south. There's an exhibit in your packet that shows that retaining wall will be at its highest point, I believe, just over 8 feet. And then instead of having a precast fence on top of that, putting just a fall protection fence that, again, kind of mitigates the height on that. But to Demir's point, on the north end, there will be a tiered retaining wall. And then on top of that, at the existing grade of the property on the north, there will be a precast fence on top of that. So just wanted to clear that up, but I'm happy to answer any other questions you might have, and now or after the public.
I wanted to confirm that these will all be rental properties.
Correct.
And will it be the Rise development that will oversee those, run the...
There will be a private property management group that will manage all of that, the facilities, all of the repairs and maintenance for all of the buildings.
Is that the same owner as the business development to the east?
They are a partner in this, correct.
Okay. Is there... I couldn't find it in the agreement with the city, so I don't know if this is going to be a question for staff or for you. Is there a pathway for the possibility of making these for sale eventually?
That wasn't addressed in the agreement. It's something we've done in the past with projects. The current plan is to have them for rent, but we obviously wouldn't take that off of the table, right? If market conditions were right and things worked out, that's not something that's off the table. But the short answer to your question is it's not addressed in the development agreement.
Okay. Staff, do you have an answer for what would have to happen for that to proceed or for something to change since it's not directly addressed in the development agreement?
They would just need to subdivide.
Okay. Yeah,
each unit would become its own separate unit parcel.
Yeah, it's platted as a condo plat, meaning just the footprint of the building is platted as a parcel. So we would have to come in with a plat amendment to
come to us. Okay.
Individually parcel out the buildings.
That answers my question. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, will we have the applicant, please?
Okay. The staff has included three stipulations in our recommendation. I'm assuming you guys are fine with those three stipulations, but while we have you, I just want to confirm.
Yes, we've worked those out with the planning department. And just so you're aware, one of those was the right-of-way dedication along 1055. We have a single-family lot there, as you recall, about a third of an acre in size. And on the original plat that we had presented with our application, we'd failed to include that little strip of right-of-way dedication. So we've had our engineering department update that, and we'll have that included in the final plat. And then also the 10-foot PUE will be indicated along that same single-family lot. And then the final one is we've worked with the landowners to the south of us to enter into a private agreement whereby they will dedicate a portion of the road along Riverstone to bring that full right-of-way width to 62 feet. And subsequent to that private agreement, we've now amended that road dedication plat to make sure we get the additional 62 feet right-of-way for that road.
Thank you.
On the this property, there's a lot of elevation range. I want to talk about the pedestrian connection to the office park.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accessible? Are there stairs? How would someone that's on a wheelchair get to the partner property?
So there will be two accesses. One will be a trail that we'll put up, and I don't know, Demir, if you could pull up the site plan again. On the north end, northeast corner, you'll see a little trail that kind of wiggles its way up north. That one will be a little bit steeper, that access, but there is also trail access on the south end through the pedestrian sidewalk to the trail. For wheelchair access. So as you go down, and I can see the name of the road, Morning Shine Drive. Yes, there's the trail that intersects with the road there. So there would be access for wheelchair access and other enabled access there.
Great, thank you.
I have some questions. Okay, I think I asked you guys this last time, but I noticed in the renderings it's still showing single car garages, and I just want to confirm that there are no single cars.
There are none. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, yep. You're good. I wanted
to
make sure I wasn't crazy. And then on your numbers, there's obviously 154 units, 308 garage stalls, but only 240 driveways. So am I assuming that the private alleyway units do not have any driveway?
Some of those, yeah, just have aprons.
Okay.
And then there's additional off-street parking provided for those.
Okay. And then do you know how many units are in phase one versus phase two?
I don't have the exact count. That's a good question. Let me look at the plan real quick and see if I can. Can I get back to you on that one?
Yes.
Okay, so happy to answer any other questions.
Really, my question about that was, I'm in the development agreement, it says you guys have to start the amenities when you hit building permits for 30 units. So do you anticipate that any residents will move in prior to the completion of those amenities, or will those be kind of worked in as you go?
There may be one or two buildings that are complete before the amenity is completed, but in other projects that are similarly sized to this that we've done, that usually is finished. The amenity is usually finished before even more than half move in. So, perfect. Yeah, we tried to time those in the development agreement around that.
Perfect.
So what I can see on the plat, they're showing 14 buildings in phase one and then 23 buildings in phase two. Phase one is at the east end and phase two is the west end.
So is that 14 units or just buildings? And there's
buildings.
Multiple units in each building, right?
I'll count up. Yeah, I can come back and report on that for you.
Okay.
Any other questions? I'm sorry. I can come back up and report on that instead of taking your time counting this, unless you'd like me to right now.
Did you have any other questions?
Okay.
All right. Then we'll probably get that from you. Thank you. Public comment. So at this time, I am going to open up public comment to this item, but I'm going to reiterate what Commissioner Gedge said, and I did verify with staff before the meeting that this is the case. The rezone and the ability for this applicant to build these units has already been agreed to by the City Council, who are your elected officials. We initially heard that rezone. We have asked many questions about this and forwarded a recommendation to City Council, but ultimately they had the power to make the decision that they have. So this evening, we're reviewing the development agreement that the City Council has granted this particular applicant. And so we're reviewing to make sure that it meets what was laid out in that. So we absolutely want to hear from our public that's joined us this evening, but wanted to make you aware that this evening we can only consider evidence that would indicate that we have not met what's been outlined in that development agreement. City Council, like Commissioner Gedge said, has approved the rezone, has granted the applicant this density, and so we're reviewing that the application before us, the subdivision plat, meets what the City Council has agreed to. And then also for our records, I do want to know and make sure, Ms. Valdez, that you got the comments from Jessica Hamilton that were submitted online and that all the commissioners saw her comments and reviewed those. Okay, so those are a part of our public record. So at this time, we would invite anybody who would like to address the commission on this item and present any evidence to approach the podium. Please state your name and where you reside for our records, and you will have 3 minutes.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Don Reese, and I reside at 10674 South, 1055 West. I have two concerns tonight. I just want to reiterate to make sure that we're on the same page. On the north end of the subdivision of the Rise development, there is an access road there coming off of 1055 West. I want to make sure that's designated as a one-way road east to west. And the second question I have for the developer is, what is the width of that road? Thank you very much.
And I should have noted that we will write down any concerns and have staff address them after the public comment.
I'm Kurt Fiedler. I live at 1092 West Corradine Drive. I have a couple of concerns and probably a couple of questions. The question I have is, if you go past the Wingate Apartments, there's about 20 cars that are always parking on the park side of the street. that belong to the people in the apartments. And then there's probably another six or seven cars that park in front of the garden. And I'm wondering if the parking that's made available in this development, if you have considered the amount of parking places that are available there and have taken into consideration that you might have two or three cars per unit if the parking allowed here is going to cover that. And that would be a question for Demir.
Yeah, so, we'll address your questions after.
Can I interject as a point of order? So you're addressing the commission right now, and so we will take your questions, but you shouldn't be directly asking staff the questions. This is not a back and forth
presentation.
So I just want to make sure, so we set the ground rules at the beginning so that we don't have the loss of order. Sorry, Madam Chair, I just wanted to.
Sure, and we don't want to use up your time either. So please, I will write down all your questions and we'll get them answered.
Okay, and the second question I have is on the west side of this development where the road empties out into 1055, if you go down there on 1055, there are no sidewalks, there is no curb and gutter, and if you have people from 142 units or whatever walking in and out of there with no sidewalks, in my opinion, you've got a safety issue. And there's a lot of people that walk in the mornings down there, and there's no sidewalks. And it's kind of a narrow road, and it even gets narrower as you go to the south. And that's a concern. And I appreciate you listening. Thank you.
I'm Kalmar Robbins. My address is 3730 East Millstream Drive, Salt Lake City, Utah. The only thing that I wanted to bring up that has never been addressed until today's meeting is the retention wall that will be going up. He says 8 feet. The last time I heard it was 9 feet, but it's in that range. And then there was going to be a slope back that would take it up probably another 7 or 8 feet. It's been designed, it's been improved, but where that, if you look at the first page, it just shows the current elevations actually going on to their property as well. That's a very gradual slope in that area. It doesn't go up very much. The next one is actually why they had to raise it is because of the sewer line that does run through the middle of that property. But the third one that I do have there is showing this, in reality, is going to be a dead end. If the city has approved going up 16 feet in elevation in a 20-foot drop, in over 20 feet, if they want that road put in, I want the city to understand they're the ones that adjusted this elevation, which is the proof that you have in front of you, that they're the ones that would be connecting that. And I think there may be a reason to actually do that is because the other exit that exists to the property to the south of them is only 1055. And where there has been kind of a sense I've had from the city to try to minimize that impact, this one will block that from happening. And so it's just an interesting thing that this was not very well presented in any of the other meetings. In fact, I think the first time it actually came up was in the city council meeting when they were approving the development agreement. It's just been an interesting process not to fully understand that. In fact, as I left that meeting, I still didn't understand what was going on. And it was a week later when I happened to run into one of the planners, and he says, oh, they need to raise it to get the sewer to go back into that area. And it finally registered, oh, they've got to really raise it to make that happen, which they really have. And I just think the city maybe wants to at least say, hey, we are abandoning that, and we are realizing that we're going to put a lot more traffic onto 1055. That's all I want to address so that it's actually in the public record that it has not been prior to today's meeting.
Can I just make sure I understand your question? So you're asking ultimately when the road connects to the property.
That's the one on to the south that's on the most west end of the development.
Okay. That you want to ensure that there is a plan for making
if they want that connected, that the city is going to do it because they've changed they're the ones that have approved this change in elevation.
Okay, thank you.
They're the only ones that I see, if they want that to happen, are willing to take on that cost. Okay. And otherwise, you know, it's not going to happen. And that's more what I'm probably indicating is you have changed it, that the traffic is going to go on to 1055.
Thank you. Are there others in our auditorium this evening that would still like to address the commission on this item before we go to our online platform? Okay, can we go to our online platform? If you would like to address the commission on this item, we ask that you turn on your camera and give us a physical wave, and I will give you the floor for 3 minutes. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online, but I'll come back to our auditorium one more time. Is there anyone that would like to address the commission on this item? Once we close public comment, that's it for this item. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Staff, let's work through some of the questions that came up during public comment. Mr. Reese noted that he wanted to ensure that the development agreement with the city council that they signed ensured that the access road to 1055 was a one-way. I think he said east to west, but I thought it was from west to east. Okay. And so, Demir, can I've read it in there. Can you confirm that that is intended to be permanent?
Yes, it's a one-way connection, so you can go into the project from 1055 West, but you can exit out of the project onto 1055 West.
Okay, and then what I read, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it will be a standard width road. However, that other direction of traffic will have concrete island barriers that prevent
right.
the flow of traffic the other direction. Okay.
Right, with signage, yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, just full disclosure on that. That's so that in the future, if things change and there is a motivation to make that a two-way road, it could be accommodated.
What would be required to enact that change? Would that have to come before City Council for their approval? Would noticing go out to this area again so that they'd have an opportunity to weigh in on that?
That process has not been determined, but I would get it would be something significant in the neighborhood, like, say, if that road, I forget the name of it, that Riverstone Way, the one that kind of arches to the north, if that were to tie into South Jordan Parkway or something that would make that cut through less motivating, then that's probably when the city would explore it one more time. But as far as the process of how that would happen, I don't know for sure at this point, but there's nothing, and I'm just kind of being totally upfront with everybody. That's why it's built the way it's going to be built the way it is so that there is that flexibility in the future.
Okay. Do you want to add anything, Greg? Either Greg.
The PC zone is a different animal than most of the zones that we have in the city. You look at the first paragraph The purpose of the planned development floating zone is to allow flexibility in the application of zoning regulations and development provisions of this title. And most of that flexibility is being exercised at the very beginning. You have to come in with a development plan, and the applicant has done that. The development plan has to be part and parcel with the development agreement, and the applicant has done that. But you look at subpart D, it says the planning director may authorize minor deviations from an approved development plan to resolve conflicting provisions or when necessary for technical or engineering considerations. Such minor deviations shall not affect the vested rights of the PD district and shall not impose increased impacts on surrounding properties. So, for my interpretation as a very junior employee of the city, I look at that and say, okay, we have discovered a engineering issue with this pipe that's been mentioned that goes through the middle of the subdivision that necessitates a retaining wall on the far end. And that's an unforeseen engineering issue, and so that may be something, I don't know, that the planning director may weigh in on. The other issue with the one-way street, that is something that the neighbors have made eminently clear that in their opinion, that's going to affect them if that changes. So again, from my very junior position, as I interpret the code here, that's not going to be allowed to be changed by the planning director. That's something that would have to go probably before the city council to get that changed.
Can I just make a quick comment? All of the information that staff is giving, if you are interested in reading the actual development agreement, the section we just talked about is 5.9.2, and it is on the city's website in the packet that was available for tonight. So everything we're going to talk about, everything staff talks about, is available online if you want to go on and actually read it and see for yourself what they have agreed to.
Okay. There were also concerns about parking. Demir, I think you can probably answer this, but my understanding is that parking was added such that there are ultimately 4 parking spots per unit in this entire development between garage spots and designated on parking, et cetera. Can you confirm that number?
Yes. So as you've mentioned before, some of these things have been reviewed during the zone change. And parking is one of those things that was reviewed and made its way into the agreement. But yeah, essentially it does meet or exceed city parking requirements.
Okay. And then I can't remember off the top of my head, but can you remind me how big these units get, how many bedrooms the townhome and the twin homes have?
I think the applicant might be
okay, please.
A better choice to respond to that, yeah.
So that wasn't addressed in detail in the development agreement, but the architectural plans that were presented to the review committee highlight anywhere from two bedrooms to 4 bedroom units. Okay. And some of them do have basements as well. And some will be finished? 30 of the basements will be finished.
Okay.
So we'll provide a range of finished and unfinished basements.
And so that could potentially add to the number of bedrooms within a unit?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I just ask a follow-up on the parking as well? So since these will be rental properties, will there be any kind of contractual language with the renter of the maximum number of vehicles they can have per property if they were to sublet unit, and what kind of, I guess, enforcement mechanism might be with the property management company on that?
Good question. So when a a tenant comes in, we do have a sit down, go over all the rules, talk about those restrictions. In this instance, these are public roads, so we would inform them that these are city-owned roads, so the city is responsible for enforcing parking regulations there. However, we have included as part of the development agreement that there will be no parking along Riverstone, 10840 South, along that main collector road there. But yes, there is a process that we go through when somebody comes in to inform them of what the regulations are and try to keep those problems from making it up to the city level.
But are there any limitations for a renter to rent a four-bedroom unit and to have
four single adults,
eight single adults sharing each, share, you know, two people in each bedroom, each with their own vehicle?
We screen for screen for that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We can also accessory dwelling units in any form are not permitted in this zone. So if they and it's. Subletting and having more than four unrelated people in the building would not be allowed by our city code also. So,
correct. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Demir, can you, for our records, confirm that there, I believe the applicant is providing funding to the city for improvements along 1055 West for that portion that is adjacent to their property?
Yes, just the portion that's adjacent to their property.
So will that section immediately get upgrades, get that sidewalk, or will that be held in a fund until a bigger stretch is ready to be improved?
Yeah, that would likely be held in a fund until a larger stretch would be completed.
Okay. So I guess to then answer Mr. Fiedler's question, those improvements for walking out to 1055 West are planned for but will not be immediate?
Correct, yeah.
Just follow up on that. Do we have any idea or preliminary of where potential school pickup locations might be? Would it be along 1055 or would it be somewhere where the children can access once it, you know, current built with the phase one? Or, I'm, you know, again, the concern of the safety, our kids are going to have to walk through to a location without curb and gutter sidewalk until other properties develop.
Yeah, that will definitely need to be looked at as part of the safe walk, you know, developing the safe walk route when the school, you know, bus pickup locations are determined. Usually the school districts determine the school bus locations. I'm involved with the safe walking route, though, and that would put a higher priority and on us getting that sidewalk completed, okay, you know, on 1055, depending upon how that turns out.
Okay. And then our last concerns that were brought up by Mr. Robbins are with that retention wall. Demir, can you speak to the concern that he had about the ability for that road to go through with the elevation change that's occurring? Does the city have a plan for that? Where would the burden of the cost of grading fall for that road to connect to the property to the south?
He brings up a good question there. On the plat, we're preserving right-of-way so that a street could be punched through there. However, we recognize that may be very challenging. And it's challenging because of the site conditions, the location of the sewer, trying to have the buildings, you know, tie into that sewer. And the intention definitely isn't to put an undue burden on whoever develops that parcel to the south. And so that's something that will need to be determined in the future if that road does connect. But he's absolutely right. It may not connect. It's just something we would need to look at with a future site plan for that site to the south. But it does look very challenging for a road to connect there.
So I'm assuming he is the property owner of that parcel. But even if he were not... what do we need to do as a planning commission to document what was just said and to ensure that in the future an onerous requirement of doing expensive road grading isn't required to develop that property?
And maybe Greg can chime in if I misstate this, but there's already a lot of laws in place protecting the developers from the cities forcing them to put undue burdens on them to develop their properties. At this point in time, this isn't something the city is going to force. The road isn't that significant to tie into.
There are some things that, how do I put this? It's just in the bosom of time. You're just going to see what happens. We're not going to be binding the city to some course of action in a planning commission meeting years before the time that it happens. I can understand the adjoining property owners' concerns, especially to the extent that there is a big drop-off there. But I just don't know that we can give him a lot of relief from those concerns here tonight.
Okay.
But just, I guess, to follow up, whatever that property to the south develops, even if it can't go through, fire would have to sign off on making sure there was adequate access. That's my bit, would be fire and safety to be able to serve those properties of the new development if it was to ever come to fruition. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
I would assume, and this is me not being a planner or an architect or a designer of any sort, but it seems like if that property were to be developed, it would need other roads anyways. It would be hard to imagine that they could depend on that small access road for their main traffic. So I would think other roads are going to be created for fire and other things, but that's just my guess.
That's a good point, Commissioner. And also there is a road being stubbed into that parcel on the east end of that parcel. So,
Commissioners, I think that covers the questions that came up during public comment. Are there other questions that we would like to clear up at this time?
I have a question for staff.
Please.
So as we've kind of talked through this, I may be just confusing myself, but is this property being risen up 16 feet from native grade, like across the whole property? Or is it just those small portions on the edge that we're having to up the grade?
It's difficult to say how much the whole site raises. It's all, and the applicant could speak more intelligently to this, but it's driven by that sewer, the depth of that sewer. Currently, mm-hmm. that sewer is 4 feet deep, and my understanding is they need to add about 3 feet of fill on top of that to be able to connect into, to be able to use that sewer. And so that's what's driving the whole change in grade. And so then that everything is based on that sewer elevation.
Okay. So if we raise the property by 3 feet, and then these buildings are these at a max of 35 residential? Is that
that's the height? Max, but they were shorter than that in architectural review, so, I thought.
But is so that height, are we measuring that max height from the native grade or from where we're adding to the grade?
To just kind of give you an idea, not the whole property is being raised. So along the north boundary, it's going to drop.
Okay.
And then it's being raised at the south end and at the east end. But it's going to drop at the north end and the west end. It drops.
Okay, so the west end and the north end that are hitting current residential existing homes, we're not raising that up so much that these are going to tower over those. Residential. Okay. That was my concern. That's all I have.
Okay. Commissioners, questions, discussion? Okay.
I just want to make a comment that this has been a long, drawn-out process, and I do appreciate all the residents and the applicant and the staff working, because I know coming back, based on some of our discussion and City Council's discussion, to make some changes to the development agreement and some just little things that we weren't aware of, even before this meeting, the retaining wall, just little things throughout this whole process. And so I just want to, not everybody's going to be happy maybe with how the outcome is tonight, but I want to thank everybody for being involved in the process. You know, I've mentioned before, this is very near to my house. So, you know, I think it will be an addition to the city. It looks like the developer is adding some benefits to the city as well with the pickleball courts and other that they've worked out with the city council. So thank you for doing this. But also thank you to the residents for sharing with us your concerns as we've gone through this process, and we'll do so with other infill developments in this, you know, in this area with some other large swaths of land adjoining the property. And with that, Madam Chair, if there's no other comments, I'd like to make a motion. Oh, never mind.
Just a comment instead of a question. Similar to, like, as we get concerns like this around parking and so forth, our experience has been the city's been a good partner for people to say, like, here's a problem we're having largely in this area because of recent development or just growth in adjacent places. And so there's lots of options sometimes to deal with those situations. And so, I just want to recognize that there are options to deal with things that might pop up that no one's identified. And the city's been a good partner in that, from what I can tell. That's all. That's my comment.
Anyone else? Sorry. Didn't want to jump the gun, but
I got some. So I just want to quickly say, I mean, I think several of us recognize many faces in the auditorium tonight. You guys have shown up meeting after meeting after meeting, and I really appreciate that we've kept it civil and on track and on course with what we were discussing. There was a lot of opportunity to derail this, and thank you for your input. We really appreciate all of the questions and the concerns and keeping it relevant to the current discussion. So thank you for coming. Thank you for staying with it and being here to support your community.
Okay. Madam Chair, based on the staff report, the public comment, and our discussion, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve the RISE Preliminary Subdivision Plat, file number PLPP2022-00218, with the following stipulations. One, right-of-way along 1055 West to be dedicated as per city standards. And number two, lot 137 to have a 10-foot PUE public utility easement along the front property line. And three, that the remaining piece belonging to the Robbins family and pertaining to the River Stoneway Road dedication be added to the final plat for road dedication.
Okay. We have a proposal or a motion. Do we have discussion? Okay. I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Aye. Okay. This passes 5-0 this evening. Thank you to all that came to participate in this process. We will now move into our legislative public hearing items. We have one, which is a text amendment to City Code 17-130-050, the planned development floating zone. And Mr. Simonson has our staff report. This is new. They're making you take on extra responsibilities, huh?
Fortunately, this is very minor, and hopefully I can't goof up on it. It's so minor. So if you all turn to the very last page in your packet, you can see in there the text change that is being proposed. And so it's in bold and underlined, the wording that is being proposed to be added to these sections. And so it says, except in those instances where the applicant is the city of South Jordan, the development plan shall be approved by development agreement in conjunction with the rezoning approval. If the applicant is the city of South Jordan, the development plan may be approved as part of the rezone without a development agreement. This is a simple recognition that you can't enter into a binding agreement with yourself. If that were the case, the number of times that I've said I was going to exercise more, I would be in constant breach of agreement, and I would probably be in jail. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here. The city does have lots of property in the city. Most of it is not developable property, roads and so forth, but some of it is. And at some point, the city may be before you to propose a rezone to this PC zone. And so we didn't, I think the city anticipating this didn't want this to be something that inhibits that process.
Will there still be an opportunity for public comment as projects come up in the community and as the city develops land?
Yes, you'll notice that the provision of this, I mean, a big part of the PC zone is that you have to have a development plan, and that has to be heard. And so the city will still be subject to that requirement, just like anybody else, of coming up with a development plan. That will still have to come before the Planning Commission. And you know, it'll have to come, just like any rezone, it's going to have to come before the Planning Commission for recommendation, and then it's going to have to go before the City Council for decision. And there will be hearings, of course, at both levels.
Questions? Okay, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. Our auditorium is empty, so I'm going, unless anybody on staff would like to comment. So we're going to go to our online format. If you'd like to address the commission on this item, I just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone online. So back to the auditorium. Any takers? Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, discussion, questions?
It seems straightforward to clean up, and I applaud Greg and staff for looking at these things. I know when we met with the joint meeting with the council as well, they said we've seen these. I think this is the third we've seen in as many meetings. So,
yeah.
And I assume we'll see some more moving forward, but I applaud staff for helping in little technicalities like this cleaned up.
Right, I think we're ready for a motion then.
I'll make a motion.
Please.
I move the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council that it approve ordinance number 2023-07.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? Okay, I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Okay. Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Kentmel?
Aye.
And Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Okay. We will forward this to City Council with a 5-0 positive recommendation in its favor. And that concludes our agenda items for this evening. Any other business for us, staff? Greg, do you want to give us a peek at what next meeting looks like?
Well, I don't think there are other planners. I don't know if there will be a meeting for sure yet, because I have
recording in progress.
I have four items that are coming up eventually, but I don't know if they're going to make it on by May 11th. And they're all daybreak ones. They're all piling up, but I can't remember. There might be another zone text amendment because David's been working on those, and I'm not sure how far along he's on that. So
okay.
Can't give you a definite. That there be, there'll likely be a meeting, I think, but I can't remember anything else on our tickler that I could think of after this one. So,
okay, all right, thank you, commissioners.
Just there was an announcement last week regarding a potential big stadium downtown. Does that have any impact on the medium-sized stadium that we will have in our town?
As far as I know, no. I've heard some talk about it, but the Miller family are still going forward with this one. I believe also I've heard rumors that the Miller family are also involved with the big stadium as well. So if they, I think, can probably handle the medium one, which technically I think is fairly small. It's actually smaller than the it'll be smaller than the existing stadium that we have. It'll have seating. We did find that out, about 6,000 seats, and with capacity at 8,000, they can add, depending on what the entertainment would be, if it's baseball or if it could be concerts or whatever, they can add more seating for concerts and stuff like that.
So that's a question I've never thought about. So outdoor, I guess, non-sporting events.
Yeah.
I assume the city already has it in the noise ordinance or with the county, maybe the county health department, but is that something that we need to, the city already has in place or we'll need to?
Our noise ordinance follows the county's exactly. Okay. It references the county's noise ordinance. But that's one of the things that is planned, is that stadium is not being built just for baseball. So,
good. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Then I'm going to move that we adjourn. All in favor?
I'll second that first.
Oh, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks. Hurrying.